weave real connections, create real nodes, build real houses. Live a life you can endure. Keep tangling and interweaving and taking more in. Reach out, keep reaching out, keep bringing in. This is how we are going to live for a long time. This is part of the Marge Piercy poem that we read in last week's service, where we talked about expanding our circle of care and how the religious community helps us to do that. The religious community is unlike any other society. Have you found that to be the case? The congregation is unlike any other kind of group or gathering in society. Here is an invitation to live close to the earth, close to life's sorrow and to its incredible beauty. Here you find infants and toddlers and elders approaching their 100th year. Here you find the full range of human experiences and a wide assortment of different personality types. Here are individuals brimming with gifts and passions, fears and anxieties. Here are people hungry for real connection, for love that is loving, and for a life that endures. It is in the religious community that we can do amazing things together, like transform selfishness into compassion, fear into love, loneliness into joy, isolation into connectedness, and greed into abundance. In our town here, there are what, 100 churches and one synagogue where you can find this kind of community. But I tell you, there is only one place where all the faiths are welcome. And there is only one place where all kinds of people are celebrated. And there is only one place where the truth comes from many, many different sources. In a town like Williamsburg, Virginia, a liberal Unitarian Universalist community is essential, especially for people who have been rejected by traditional religion. The more we expand our circle of care, the more people we're going to meet and the more people we have met who are hungry for just this kind of spiritual community. And it is time for us to make room for them. For the stranger who will become our friend, it is time to build a new way. It's hard to believe that it's already been 3 years since Tricia Hart and Bill Klontz were here, you know, for that retreat weekend. Tricia and Bill are the stewardship consultants hired from the UUA, the Unitarian Universalist Association, to gauge our readiness for a major building project. So 3 years ago, they came and they listened carefully as we told our story about how we started this congregation 25 years ago with small groups meeting in people's living rooms, how we called our first minister, how we bought this land and built this sanctuary, how we disagreed and broke promises and failed one another and began again in love. Bill and Tricia were impressed by how much we had accomplished in a very short time. Still, there were things that we needed to do, things that we needed to strengthen before we could launch into a full-blown building campaign. And we've done those things. We're paying down our mortgages. We have a 5-year strategic plan in place with a multi-year budget. We are strengthening our stewardship process and ensuring that we have all the right staff in place. And now we're ready. We're ready to engage all of you in a community-wide conversation about how to move forward and what kind of facility we want to build. We're calling these conversations visioning circles. And somebody, Les, is going to tell you a little more about that later. So I have no idea what is about to happen. You know, I have my daydreams about what we could do here on our 8 acres. I'm sure you have ideas of your own. I don't know what we're going to create together. And actually, I find that the most exciting part of this whole adventure. It's going to be quite a ride. Thankfully, we're not going to have to do this alone. Shepherding us through the process will be Bill Klontz, a member of the Mount Vernon Unitarian Universalist Church. Bill is a businessman, a retired U.S. Army officer, and a fellow at Harvard's Kennedy School and the Brookings Institute. He's a pretty smart guy. As we move together through meetings and cafe conversations, and more meetings and more cafe conversations, Bill advises to keep 4 ideas close to heart. 4 ideas. If we are able to remember these 4 things, then this community will emerge at the other end of this process a strong, healthy congregation, regardless of the decisions that we have made together. The first tree has to do with our state of mind. We should strive for a mixture of both excitement and apprehension. Now, you may think that, no, that's not right. We just want positive, upbeat energy. We want excitement and optimism all the time. And you may think that, well, anxiety has no place in a process like this. Anxiety is a warning sign that people are being negative. We don't want any of that. But that's not the case at all. We need both. Think about the last time you had both of these feelings, where you were both excited and nervous, both scared and excited at the same time. Was it on a roller coaster that was clicking up the incline? Click, click, click. Was it right after you made a decision to leave that job that was killing your soul? Was it when you were confronting someone with the truth that you knew would both liberate and cause pain? When was the last time you felt both excitement and apprehension? The point where those 2 things meet, that is the growing edge of life. That is the growing edge of life. That is where we care really deeply about what comes next. This is where ideas expand, and this is where creativity finds fertile ground. The second idea has to do with this congregation's relationship to its leaders. We're asking you to trust us and to demand excellence from us. Last month, you'll recall that the WUU board came to this congregation to tell you that they had looked at the property next door and concluded that they were not interested in buying it. Several members of the congregation wanted to be part of that decision-making process, but found no opportunity to give their input. It was frustrating for everyone, and we learned a lot from this experience. And I was really glad that this congregation demanded excellent process from the board and then trusted them to do whatever they decided to do because they knew and trusted that the board would always work in the best interest of the mission. Moving ahead, the board, the staff, the committees, the task forces, they're going to give you as much information as they can, both the good news and the bumpy news, both the things that we need to celebrate and the challenges and the potential risks and the mistakes. And we just ask that you trust us to do the very best we can. The third idea has to do with our vision. We have to remember why we're doing all of this in the first place. We have to remember why we are engaging in this long and challenging process that could take up to 3 years. Otherwise, Otherwise, we're going to get lost in the details of the brick and mortar, and the plumbing and the HVA system. We're going to get tangled up in egos and personal preferences. And so ultimately, our vision has to be about creating flexible, sustainable spaces for those who come after us. We build not for ourselves, but for the coming generations who will need a community that will nurture the life-saving values of interconnectedness, service, and love. It's for those three over there. That's why we're building. These generations, okay, so we call you millennials, right? These generations are increasingly diverse. Not only are they the most multiracial, multi-ethnic generation in American history, they are the most multi-faith. They have parents who are Catholic and pagan and Jewish, and grandparents who are atheists, and aunts and uncles who are Buddhist. They are less likely to affiliate with any organization, religious organization. They're less likely to join a congregation, attend weekly worship services, or participate in traditional practices like Bible study. Some of you came here to the sanctuary a few weeks ago to watch the Service of the Living Tradition broadcast live from Louisville, Kentucky, where this year's General Assembly convened. The preacher that night was the Reverend Vanessa Southern, who described this up-and-coming generation as the next great religious wave. The religious wave washing over us is made of people who have no innate love of institutions, she preached. And why would they? And why would they? Religious institutions have fought and split over the rejection of gay and lesbian clergy. Religious institutions have protected priests over children. Why would they? In other words, in this new world, congregations, whose mission it is just to maintain the congregation for themselves, and denominations whose de facto mission is simply to keep the bureaucracy alive, they are out. What is in are communities alive with spirit, alive with questions and doubts, struggling to live with ambiguity. They want to serve directly. They are ecologically minded and affirming of the pluralism across the real and supposed differences. This is good news for us, because Unitarian Universalist congregations are uniquely prepared to meet the needs of that generation. And the question for us is, how will we create spaces to respond to that religious wave? The fourth and final idea that we have to keep in mind throughout this whole process is about community. We have to remember that the most important thing is to stay connected to each other in right relationship. Because what good will we have done if we gained a building and lost each other? Many years ago, this congregation went through a painful and divisive conflict. And out of that conflict, a covenant of right relations was born to strengthen the bonds in this spiritual community. In that covenant, we promised to communicate openly and honestly and above all, kindly. We promise to understand and accept that our words and deeds impact other people. We promise to act as stewards of our sacred spaces, to embrace conflict as a source of creativity and spiritual growth, to value diversity, democracy, and dissent. to participate actively in the life of our congregation, and we promise to seek and accept help in building and restoring right relationships with one another, and to offer ourselves and each other the gifts of forgiveness and fellowship. If we can remember these things, if we can remember that it's good to be both excited and nervous, we can trust our leaders while demanding excellence from them. If we can remember that we don't build for ourselves, but we build for those yet to come. And if we can remember to stay in right relationship with one another, then we will not only have the facilities we need, but we will have grown together in love. May it be so.